Now we turn to fields far from the ones we know, where a great hammer strikes down upon a blade forged from the heart of a dying star. The reverberations of the great blow echo through the billion worlds, cut into a thousand roaring screams along the keen edge of the weapon. Their voices cry out in unison, and the word sounded throughout the universe is... Doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of Doomed Prophecy. My name is Jaden, and I'm here with Brett, and I forgot to do the voice. Dang it, I'm out of form today.
Try number 3.
Nah, we're good. Yeah, no, we're going. Today, we're going to talk about a patron request, but before we do that, we've got some news I'm sure that we should be discussing, like the fact that we just saw the Hydra Tactics cards today. Mm-hmm. Brett, thoughts?
All right, okay, let's do hot takes.
Hot takes. All right, hold on a second. Let me pull them up here so that I can see them in front of me very quickly. Well, you can talk.
Okay. Victory Assured is a beam that you can kill yourself with. So if you're trying to do the kill your leader to get 2 more leaderships, that's great. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just awful.
Okay.
We've seen occult research before. I'm still undecided. I think if you get it off on turn 3 every game, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But you kind of have to do long to do it, and so you're like trading 2 points. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Endless Legions is... So the idea is it keeps your grunts alive forever. But mm-hmm. I think that's actually worse than having them killed. So instead of being KO'd, they get pushed away. So they're still not contesting.
Uh-huh.
And Hydra 2, or what's his name? Skull 2, can bring them back every time he activates. So I would prefer them to just die. I'm not going to waste a coward to make them worse.
Counterpoint, this turns off Malekith's leadership almost completely when it comes to like that kind of thing, because they don't trigger it ever.
Okay. Yeah, like you can get easy KO triggers off grunts.
Yeah, I don't know, just, you know, something.
Okay. I'm also not sure how it interacts with Grievous Wounds.
Yeah, that one's going to need an FAQ of some sort.
Because if I'm reading it right, so it removes damage and says they're not KO'd. So then they're at 0 health and they get KO'd again. So you just get to push them into the corner forever?
I don't know, man. I got nothing.
So 2 more shall rise is when a Hydra leader, so when a Hydra character with an active leadership dies, you play this card and you pick 2 allied characters with Hydra or Cabal leaderships, and then you get those leaderships, so, which is very funny.
It's a really interesting card.
Yeah, especially since you can get like Malekith's leadership and Strucker's leadership or Sin's leadership. Mm-hmm. I think so. I wish Sin was a Hydra leader because she dies real easy and she has pretty good leadership.
Yeah.
So she would be a perfect use case for this.
Mm-hmm. But she's not, probably for the best. Yeah. Like this has the potential to be kind of ridiculous, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's not going to trigger until, like, turn 3 or 4.
Right. You kind of have to suicide your leader turn 1 and then hope they die turn 2, and then that's always bad.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you're, like, you're probably going to be playing Strucker Zola Skull 2 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a gimme.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
World Domination, Day 1 errata.
Day negative, hold on. It's the 28th, so they come out in 2/16. So they come out day -17 errata.
So as the card was originally printed, it only worked on flip secures. Mm-hmm. And then you would only get victory points based on the flip secures that you were standing next to.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange card. Mm-hmm. As it stands now. So it's obviously a win more card, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's at least nice in that, like, if you ever are temporarily holding 4 points, you get to just play this card and basically win the game.
Yeah, basically you get, so what this card does, it's kind of important, we mentioned how this works, you get a victory. So if you're controlling whatever, all of the secure spots on the map, you can play this card and you get an extra point for each two that you control, and you also get a power for each two that you're controlling. Everyone. Yeah, everybody does. So that is actually pretty crazy, and I don't know, like, I think I want to see it in a team that's specifically designed to, like, kill a bunch of things and then catch up with this card. Like, I want to know if that's viable. I think it maybe is. It reminds me a lot of, like, because you know how we talked about how, like, the shield leadership keeps you in the game, the black order leadership keeps you in the game. This kind of does the same thing, in that if you get this off, like, say you kill days most of things and push it off by the end of turn three, you've effectively gotten an extra CP or victory point per round for rounds one and two, plus all the four that you're getting now, so it catches you up. I don't know. I think that could be interesting.
I would definitely play it. Like, a card that says gain two victory points is 100% worth testing.
Yes.
And Hydra is going to be playing three flip secures. They're going to be playing Skull 2, who can control 2 points by himself. So,
yeah.
Like, on Mutant Madman or Deadly Meteors, it's going to be pretty easy. It's going to be pretty possible to pull it off and get one or two extra points.
Yeah, which is, you know, sounds small, but it's not. Like, that's,
I mean, it's 1/8. It's 1/8 of the points you need to win, right?
Right, which is 12.5%. Like, that's a huge number. So, yeah.
And it's one of those asymmetric things where you have access to bonus victory points and they don't. What do you think
they can do about it? Right. Yeah. It's a super interesting mechanic. It also makes me kind of curious. Okay, hold on a second. I need to double check this because I have still not played a ton with the grunts. Hydra grunts can control secures, right?
Yep.
Shield ones cannot.
The Hydra ones are the first ones that interact with secures.
Okay, cool. So that means that, okay, so this isn't a thing that's going to happen yet, but it does make me curious about a future Hydra team where there are multiple characters with grunts that can interact with secures.
You can only have one grunt out at a time.
Oh, sick. All right, never mind. Good job, AMG. You're smarter than I am. Nice. Okay, so that's World Domination, and then we've got Inevitable Betrayal,
which we've seen before. I think it's a trap. That's a lot of power.
So what it is before victory points are scored in the cleanup phase, you can make an allied Hydra character spend 8 power to use it. Then you pick a range or any character within range 2 that is contesting a secure, and he counts as your model. So yeah,
you have to have a surviving character who's already basically in contesting range and is willing to spend 8 power. Like, the range is what kills it.
The range is what kills it. But, again, this card could read, score 2 victory points, right? So, maybe it is worth testing? Maybe?
If it, like, Voodoo should already be possessing people. He's one of the few people. Oh, no, they have to be Hydra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Could be interesting. And then Sleeper Agent is
the third in a long line of cards that do essentially nothing.
Yeah, so this is like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it's supposed to bring a character into your affiliation, but you play this card after you check to see if you get a leadership or not.
Yep, so it's useless at list construction and basically just gives you access to tactics cards, which, to be fair, we've been talking about these ones that cost a ton of power.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the ones that are like super power generators could use this.
Is it really worth 2 cards?
Probably not.
Yeah. And it gives Mystique's superpower where your opponent can't play reactive cards.
Yeah. Which is awesome. That's really good. Yeah. Or use reactive powers. Like, that's a very powerful rule.
Yeah.
And maybe that's strong enough on its own.
But whenever you make an attack,
yeah,
if you don't daze or KO the target, you lose it forever.
Okay, that's bad. Never mind. Yeah, I think this card is probably just never seeing play. I don't really have any hot takes because you've basically said all the things I thought already.
Yeah, the Hydra cards are all like impossible condition, win the game. It's like Why? I don't. As a designer, I would never do it. But like, okay.
Yeah. They're well. And the other thing is, like, divorcing ourselves from the playing of the game for a second here. They're all incredibly like lore rich, which is really fun. I especially love Two More Shall Rise in this perspective. Yes. Like, that is such a good, like, you've nailed the lore. Well done. Mm-hmm. Cut off one head. Two more shall rise. Anyway, yeah, so that's the news of those. We also, let's see, when this comes out, Sentinels will still be a week out from release, as will Red Skull, so those are coming soon. We got prices for the Wolverine and Sabretooth kit. And a release date of December, which is interesting. Because I kind of was expecting early next year, to be honest, for them.
Yeah. And they didn't do December releases for the last couple of years.
Yeah, and it looks like this year they're not going to do November releases instead, which is, all right, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, so the Wolverine Sabretooth kit is $110, I think? Maybe $100? And it comes with a very, very big piece of terrain, a couple, like a bunch of small pieces of terrain, and
a motorcycle.
And a motorcycle terrain. Yeah. Which
is it terrain?
I think so.
They always just say a motorcycle.
I think it's terrain. I just think
it's so funny.
I mean, okay, but let's be very honest here. Who is not going to just want to try and model the new Wolverine model onto that motorcycle and the stack, like, slap it on the base? Like, who's not going to want to try that?
What if it's like a really fancy token?
Oh, I'd be so annoyed. Because, like, partially because why? Also partially because that would absolutely work on me. I love fancy tokens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be expensive, but also new leadership, like, new affiliation, apparently. Weapon X program mm-hmm. is a thing, which probably means we're getting, like, the Wolverine family kind of theme. Which I don't know, could be interesting.
We need Wolverine to be in 7 affiliations.
Boy, he's gonna be at some point here. and then yes, the Wolverine and Sabretooth are both brand new rules to go with their new sculpts, because they learned from the first Rivals thing that nobody wants them if they're the same as the old ones. So, yep. And then we also got Blob and Pyro, and they're coming out at the same time, and we don't know anything about them other than their price, which is they're just a normal price pack of two characters. So, yep. All right. I think that's all the news, pretty much. So, today, we've been asked by our wonderful patron, Phil, to talk about how to play into the big bad characters of the game, such as Malekith, Hulk, Juggernaut, Sentinels, those kinds of things, which I guess like Dormammu would technically count here, probably.
You have to play against Dormammu in a very different way, but
you do. Yeah, I've actually got quite a bit of experience playing with Dormammu, so I can talk about that a little bit more authoritatively.
We're talking about the big good guys, not the big bad ones.
Stop hurting me. So yeah, specifically Hulk, Malekith, Sentinels, and Juggernaut is what we've been asked to talk about. So the first thing we're supposed to discuss is the pros and cons of just ignoring them. And I don't actually think you can ignore any of these. Can you?
Oh, okay. You absolutely can.
Okay.
So
explain.
You can't do it in every scenario, mm-hmm. but if you get, you know, a 5 extract or like superpowered scoundrels, or like a D secure, you absolutely can't ignore them. Okay. So Malekith is extremely fast, which is what makes him different than all the rest, but it still takes him, like, he still can't affect multiple areas of the table at once. So
does have Black Bifrost though, no? That dramatically changes things.
Attacks.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
So it's just like, yes, you're going to kill, you know, you're going to kill that guy. I can't do anything about that. I have 5 other people who are running around and scoring points.
Mm-hmm.
And so really what you're doing is you're trying to survive one hit. So you're trying to take 4 damage in a hit.
Right.
And then not get thrown. And then basically, so it's like you're just rolling the dice and hoping that you know, he doesn't one-shot every character, and even if he does, you spread them out so far that he can't get both of them in one action.
Right, and that makes sense.
If the scenario is live enough, Melketh isn't in any of the affiliations that give victory points to catch you up, and so you just die slowly enough that you win on scenario. Web Warriors, like, this is the Web Warriors plan. Right, they still get all their defensive rerolls. Spider Tracker wrecks all these big guys, so it's actually pretty reasonable to do this if the scenarios are fine.
Yeah, that's which, why I like which is going to be the huge thing here, because if the scenario is not fine, ignoring them is actually not possible.
Yeah, well, and so that's what, like, that's why I'm not mono Web Warriors. It's like, I'll play them when it's right.
Yep, makes sense. Do you think that's true for Sentinels with their ability to drag people in?
Oh, 100%. So Sentinels are kind of the opposite. They want the scenario to be like dead centered. Mm-hmm. And so especially hate flip secures. They have a ton of power, but they can't afford to spend movement actions. They want to move into position and then just stay there forever. So a D-secure is just the end of all things to them. Like, they'll go like walk, pull, maybe make an attack, and not even be close to getting to another flip secure. So you just run around, and like outrunning Sentinels, ignoring Sentinels is way easier. They need the scenario to be like laser focused on the center.
Mm, that's fair. Do you think that people are going to like play these big models on super live scenarios? Because that kind of hasn't been my experience. They tend to only get played when it's good for them, right?
You can't play another Cabal list. So if they're mono Cabal, it's like they don't really have a choice.
That's true. Okay, fair enough.
And it's not like they automatically lose. I'm just saying that no. It is a way to do it.
Right, yeah, you still have to get lucky and Malekith can't one-shot everything, and
even if he does, you can go like Black Cat steals something, she runs two actions away and is now in the corner of the table. Malekith's like, all right, Bifrost to get her, and then Miles steals something else, and he goes to another corner of the table, and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That sounds about right.
So that's really okay. There are two main ways of dealing with the big boys, the big guys, I'm trying to use a gender neutral term, the big models. Is you can either have a lot of characters, so that like either you're making a ton of attacks and you're just getting a ton of damage in them just by making like rolling the dice a bunch of times, or you have a ton of characters. And so they can't kill your entire army and fast enough before you can win that scenario. Mm-hmm. The other way to do it is to try and deny their actions.
Yes. So
this requires some very specific tools, such as Spider Tracker. Spider Tracker is a really great example. So the way the Spider Tracker works is it's basically admonition from War Machine. It's when an opponent ends a move action within range four of a Web Warrior, you can spend power, play the card, and move. So unlike like Lifesaver and Eye in the Sky and similar effects, it'll deny the entire like they don't get anything back for it. Mm-hmm. So
because it happens before that step, right?
Right. So if they charge with Malekith Rosti, and there's only that one Web Warrior in range to attack, and you play the Spider Tracker and get out of there, they just lose that entire action.
Right, which is a huge deal.
Yeah, because charge is a move action followed by an attack action. So it actually triggers it. Things like places don't trigger it because they're not move actions.
Yeah, or pushes, which is one way that Juggernaut can kind of get around it.
Yes.
Push himself twice and just be like, what's up, I'm here.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so denying attacks like that, like with Lifesaver, so you like you pull them out of range, you get the action back, but now they have to get it to move and get back to you. And so denying actions, forcing them to move, just any time these huge big point models are not attacking, anytime they spend an action doing anything else, that's a win.
Right. Well, unless, like, very specifically, I think Juggernaut, you could argue, is maybe just going to do his own thing anyway, because he can go and run, like, very much like Quicksilver, he can run an entire flip secure on his own. So, that's not always the case for Juggernaut, but yeah, for the most part, that's just going to be problematic, which is why Dormammu's kind of his own little category inside of these things, because control effects, largely speaking, don't work on him. He's immune to stagger. He has a place effect to get him in range of things.
The real killer is that you can't just do a ton of attacks into him because he keeps pushing you away.
Yes, and that. And also, his attack is really long range, so it's pretty easy for him to project over a bigger portion of the table.
Well, I was just talking about him earlier today, and we decided he is the living avatar of MCP dice. Like,
yep.
If his dice show up, he's unbeatable, but sometimes he just doesn't do any damage.
Correct.
And he doesn't make that many attacks.
Nope. Yeah, absolutely. Dormammu is one of those characters who's like, well, Dormammu just won me this game all by himself, or Dormammu did absolutely nothing, and I couldn't afford that, so I lost.
Unlike Malekith, who is cheaper, does more damage, and is more reliable.
Yes. But Dormammu looks really cool. Okay?
Sure. Okay. Okay, so let's talk about the attrition plan into them. So, like, if you are forced into a dead scenario against them. So this is where you want Rapid Fire, like always. So
the Winter Soldier just should be in a lot of lists, turns out.
Yeah, because so, they're trying to attrition kill other things. So... Yep. You can bring like a Hulk and just try and do big attacks and try and get there. I like taking a lot of little attacks and having them build up value over time. This does leave you weaker to patch up, but honestly, you can just grind through it with enough. I mean, with enough spikes, with enough action, like with enough Eye in the Sky or something like to steal actions, and you're just making so many attacks that you get there.
Right.
The big problem is if he's just going to pick your leader to go kill. And so it's like, you kind of have to play the game without your leadership, which is tough.
Right. Yeah. Cause you can't really play the game and not expose your leader to most of these characters. They will just get there pretty quickly too.
You can avoid Hulk pretty easily.
It depends on affiliation, right? Like in Avengers, he gets a lot of move before he starts hitting things if he wants.
Yes. But yeah, so I just played that game earlier. When you're playing against Sam Avengers, they're playing a lot of these big guys. It's very important to not spread your damage out. It's very important to focus 100% on the big guy, put all your status effects on them, and then not daze anyone else in order to clear those status effects off and heal the big guy.
Yeah.
Especially if they just jump it in the middle or like Facebook or something.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, because if you're going to bring your own big guy, that kind of implies that you have to have a plan that's going to be better for them than what your opponent has in a lot of situations to come out on top consistently. So it's kind of this weird balance between like, well, they've got a huge damage dealer, so I got to protect my guy, and I've got a huge damage dealer, they've got to protect their guy. And you get to this weird little dance thing where whoever's got the most place effects has a lot of power.
So there's an easy way to get a huge advantage in that. And his name is Luke Cage.
That's true.
So Luke Cage is extremely inefficient to kill. He can take a hit, which is basically like stealing an action. And then once he gets hit once, he can keep doing two dangers to ignore. And it's like, and the Heroes of Hydra puts him in range for that. So like, he basically takes one of these big guys and turns them off for an entire turn.
Yes, which is totally worth three threat of character.
Yep. Three threat and a tactics cards, but whatever.
Yep. Yeah. So, if you've got good defensive tech, that's another way to make this happen. So you get into this weird, like, hard to talk about dance of placement versus defensive tech, like Bodyguard or Too Dangerous Ignore or Heroes for Hire versus placing other models of your own or theirs. And sometimes you'll have these really tense turns where almost nothing happens because you're both counterplaying to try and make it so that the impact of whatever the other person has is as little as possible while trying to make them well, making your own thing have an opportunity to be as dangerous as possible. And so it'll go a full round, and at the end of the round, it's like, oh, we made like one attack this round with somebody that didn't matter. Interesting.
That's why I like not doing big. So the problem I have with big guy into big guy is that it comes down to like you're going to make like six dice rolls over the course of the game, and whoever got better on the six dice rolls wins. It's like,
right.
It's a lot of work to go through to just flip a coin. Yeah. So I'd rather do like an alternate strategy where it's like, okay, I'm going to be better at them in some other axis and try and win that way.
Yeah. So Luke Cage is obviously fantastic into these. Another character that's ridiculously strong as well is Black Cat, because she can stagger and she can also just steal stuff and get out of there. She's also only 3 threat, which is the sweet spot for things like this, where you just want to like
really easy to splash in.
Comes with fantastic just utility in pretty much every place that you could possibly want,
and she's in like 5 affiliations.
Yeah, many of which are very popular right now. So that's always good. Another character that I think we can't not talk about a little bit is Dr. Voodoo. Just because he can say, well, yeah, you're here, but also you dropped all those secure or extracts you're holding, and now you don't contest that secure either. Cool. And
kind of hard for him to get up to like the 7 or 8 power.
Yeah, it can be, but he also has like power drain on his main attack, right? Which,
yeah.
Which is also power. Tech sometimes like game breaking into these bigger things where they're like, well, crap, you just hit me for a bunch and I also lost power net. I now have to spend my turn building enough power to do the cool things I want to do.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. not bad.
If there were more consistent like power drain effects, that would be a really good way to fight with, especially.
Yeah, 100%. Also, things that like bump you out of range of attacks, like the one that just comes to mind to me is the Convocation Leadership. I know Convocation isn't like great into these characters, but they have a really interesting, like, if you hit me, I'm out kind of deal that can make fighting them really inefficient for expensive models that get 1 to 2 attacks per turn. So that kind of thing is really good.
Fallback,
yeah. We also talked about how Dormammu, whenever you hit him, he can push you away. Those kinds of effects are not insanely common, but they're not that rare either, where you can mess with placement after getting hit once and then sort of destroy their entire action economy.
I would recommend Hop on Toad, but he usually just gets squished.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's if Toad gets hit, Toad is dead. Rule of thumb. So those are some good ways to do it. Also, we've talked a little bit about Rapid Fire and how strong it is. I also just really like Mystique into these guys, because one, she's got Rapid Fire, and then two, they can't use a lot of their defensive tech when she's going, because she just turns that off. Especially like into Hulk, if you're playing like Storm of Darkness or like Wakanda or something, and you can gang up on him for one turn of her, like with either Wakanda Forever or Siege of Darkness, you just get to do a ton of damage, and he can't do anything about it because he doesn't get to do his rerolls or anything.
Much more relevant to Malekith than it is into Hulk, because Hulk usually gets like 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Bonus defenses. Malekith feels like he gets like 3 or 4.
Yeah, 100%. We've also talked about bringing Recalibration Matrix as an answer to these guys, because if they spike, you can just say, nah, how about you try that again? And, you know, chances of spiking are not great.
Yeah, it's almost a way to get an action, to kill an action, right? If they need attacks to go well, and they finally get one that works, and then you just take it away.
Yeah. And it's time intensive to like figure out how that goes, and then also requires you to have the resources available, and also for that to be a situation. But that's going to come up fairly often against these kind of characters, and it can absolutely swing entire games. It can stop you from taking damage. It can stop them from building enough power. It can stop all kinds of weird things.
Killed, mm-hmm. or at least requiring two attacks, which is, again, a huge deal.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. So that kind of thing is also really, really good. One of the other things Phil wants us to talk about is how, like, defensive tactics cards can make these things harder to deal with, and it absolutely does, because...
Especially... I think it's the only reason Sentinels are relevant.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
So, because these characters have a really large health pool, and mm-hmm. they also generate a bunch of power, it's pretty common to be able to get, like, the full 5 patch-up, mm-hmm. or the Sentinel has a unique card where Sentinel Prime can just flip them over to their healthy side.
Yep.
And like, possibly heal as much as 12 health. And it's like, I don't know how you come back from that. The heal for 17.
Yeah, that's a big thing. So healing is an interesting conundrum. There is a tactics card that used to be quite in vogue to stop that from happening called Grievous Wounds. It's really fallen out of favor since field dressing went away, I feel like.
Yep.
And it is maybe time to have a look at bringing that back. Because even if you're not playing these tactics cards, a lot of lists are splashing hood to, you know, heal their characters. And being able to say no to that can be very strong. Mm-hmm. If you can make your opponent spend an entire turn trying to deal with a big character and then not quite doing it, you are in such a dominant position as far as, like, resources expended goes. Because a lot of these things are, like, single actions or tactics cards that don't require actions on your end to keep your things up, and they're putting ridiculous amounts of action economy into trying to take your things down. And so if they're doing that with most of their turn, you're doing a lot of other things in your turn. You're pulling or pushing or killing things off of secures, you're picking up extracts, you're messing with enemy placement, and they're just trying to kill your big thing. So if you make it so they don't for that turn, and then oftentimes because you're playing a big character, you get to have priority, so that big character gets to go again with all the power they've got out of that, it's just the end of the world. So go ahead.
The problem is it's a lot harder to predict when patch-up's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Than field dressing, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, because, like, you can just go, okay, I finally got, like, he's got 1 health left, it's time to go for the Grievous. Whereas yep. this is like, he's got 3 on him, he'd probably want to do a patch up. Do I think I'm going to finish him off this turn? Oh, I don't know, that's going to be tough.
Right.
So, that's really the problem. Also, you have to actually do damage, which is not guaranteed against Malekith.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that is kind of the big deal there. I still think it's really worth considering if you're going to be an attrition team, because, like, say you are playing a Malekith mirror, having Grievous Wounds on your Malekith is really strong.
Yeah, if the dice go your way.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is always that. That caveat should just be, like, baked into everything we say. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's worth considering. I don't know if it's absolutely vital, but it is a thing that can really, especially, like, if they have a hood and they have patch up, you're just like, oh, thank heavens, I have Grievous Wounds, right? Because even if Grievous Wounds just stops hood from healing them for a turn, that's a big deal.
It's the priority thing that's killer, though, because, right, if you fall a little short, mm-hmm. they're going to have priority. Your Grievous Wounds is going to fall off, and then you're just going to heal them the first activation. So right. I think you're better off trying to push people away. So the thing I'll often do is put a couple points of damage on a big guy, and then someone will start trying to build up power to patch them up. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to kill that person then.
That's fair.
Because they kind of wander up into the fray.
Into the fray.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other way to deal with these big guys. This mm-hmm. is part of ignoring them is... If you can kill all the 3 threats and 2 threats that come with them, the fact that they're killing, you know, 1 or 2 models per activation with their big guy is not as much of a problem, because you just get all of the secures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they cannot be everywhere, they cannot contest everything, and they cannot kill everything all at once.
Yeah. If you have, like, 5 injured characters and they just have 2 actions per turn, you're going to win that game.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think we've probably hit on all the important points. Should we just
Well, so I do want to say one point in general about MCP is that these big guys are huge and splashy, and they take your favorite piece and like just wipe them off the table trivially, which is really demoralizing. But it's important to remember that that's not how you win a game of MCP.
Right. So
it's very important to keep playing through, you know, after the Malekith, you know, gets 15 hits and keeps going. So like I played a game against Dormammu where, you know, he got 7 dazes and KOs out of 7 attacks.
Yep, that's about right.
No, it's not. I lost by like 1 point because I played it out, and I'm like, okay, that's frustrating. It's just going to happen. And so it's like, okay, but because he just doesn't have that many characters, doesn't have that many attacks, you can get ahead on scenario, and you just need one character with one health in order to win on scenario at the end of 6.
Yep. 100%. So, in short, movement's good, stealing things is good, controlling them with placement is good, controlling them with status effects like stagger, also good. Defensive tech like bodyguard, also very, very good.
Just going to the other side of the table from where they are is usually good.
Yeah.
Spreading out, making it so they can't attack two characters without moving is very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's the interesting thing. Like, all of these characters are kind of, like, vulnerable in that same way. But if you look kind of in the recent past of the big bogeyman hitters of MCP, like Black Order pre-gem nerfs, didn't have this problem because Thanos was just like, you're not winning on these secures because I will just push you all off.
Right, because Thanos brought in all the food, right?
Yep, and then also you can't place to avoid Corvus because now you're right in front of him. And so, you know, these characters at least play honestly in that they don't have the option to just be everywhere and also push you off secures and also get maximal efficiency on all of their turns because they're placed wherever they want to be ahead of time by an angry titan with a gauntlet of some sort. So, yep. All right.
Not just angry, he's mad.
Yeah. Although most of the cool ones that I've seen have a smile on his face, so I don't know what that's about. Anyway, with that, we'd like to thank everybody who supports us on Patreon, especially the people that, like Phil, are telling us what to talk about every month, because that is what helps us to keep the podcast coming out consistently, get to events, make sure we have the new models to talk about, play with, and experience so that we can bring them on and talk about them with some amount of authority on the cast. If you want to check that out, it's patreon.com/LOL. Nope, Line of Sight Wargaming. Gosh dang it. It helps the podcast, keeps our websites up, and also helps us pay the authors that put articles out every day. If you do join that, there's a whole bunch of random benefits, like special color names in our Discord. And if you want to join that Discord, it's in the show notes of this podcast on our website, which is lineofsightwargaming.com. You can also find our Facebook page. It's just Line of Sight. Give that a like. You can see all the things we're posting there, which is often now. And also, you can shoot us an email at admin@lineofsightwargaming.com. If you want to shoot Brett or I an email specifically, you can send it to that, which is just our first name at lineofsightwargaming.com. And then you can also message us on Facebook or Discord. We're pretty chatty on there, and we love to talk about Marvel Crisis Protocol because it is a sick game. And yeah, that's all we got. So until next week, thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Bye.